Episode 183.
The best things that I've learned that I remember are when I fail. I finally get it right. So, you know, those are the things that stick with me. I learn the best on my own, probably. I do go to training. I think all of the people you've interviewed have mentioned Vision in Kansas City. So I do try to go to that every year.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional. On Point. Welcome, aftermarket professionals from North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and prepare to meet Michelle Nguyen, diagnostician, in episode 183. And you're in the right place, I guarantee, each week to learn from automotive aftermarket professionals. The episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Hey, I love what I do as I chronicle the best insights and stories from the aftermarket's brightest. If you're a service professional, technician, service writer, entrepreneur, startup, educator, student, or manufacturer, you're in the right place to gain insights, trends, best practices, and to hear stories that make and shape remarkable results. Hey, great news. It's easier to listen to the podcast. Yeah, I've even got my own app now on the App Store for Apple and the Google Play Store for Android. Just key in Remarkable Results Radio and download the app. It's so easy to listen this way. You'll have all the episodes listed for easy access, and you can share and even download any episode. Enjoy. Hey, thanks to these Facebook friends, Jack Crawley, John Gallo, and Bob's Transmission, and to Mike Ferraro for subscribing to my YouTube channel, and to Brenda White, Scott Johnson, and Victor Gonzalez for the new LinkedIn connection. Now, meet Michelle Nguyen, who is the drivability and electrical technician at Beck Service Center in Indianapolis. This is the fourth technician interview in the Tech Talk series. I love this interview with Michelle. It was so much fun talking to you. She's got experience at Linder Technical Services, where she taught an intro to drivability class, helped recondition fuel injectors, answered hotline calls from member shops, and figured out tough drivability problems that were brought into the shop. Go to the show notes to get a view of her resume. Michelle and I cover a lot of ground, like her top five strengths, one of her good habits, her opinion of nighttime training, her best form of learning, and she even shared a list of one of her day's diagnostics challenges from her daily work list. Catch the show notes with an extended bio on Michelle at remarkableresults.biz/E183. You're going to like this very refreshing interview with diagnostic and drivability technician Michelle Nguyen. Hey, I'd like you to meet technician Michelle Nguyen. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm glad you could be here. You have a storied career. We spent some great time on the phone in our pre-call, and you started with Linder.
I did. Actually, I started a little before Linder. I found Linder from my previous employer, who sent me to Linder for training.
Okay.
So I spent a couple years at Linder doing some training, and then he eventually kind of hired me away from where I was with the lure of an air-conditioned shop, which sounded very good at the time, yes, and a Monday through Friday work schedule, which sounded even better.
Ooh.
So at that point, I had never only worked 5 days.
And how many years ago was that?
It was around 2000.
Okay, so wow, that's a long time ago, and those
yes.
5 day a week jobs back then were pretty limited.
Very limited. Yes, I'd never even heard of a deal like that, so it seemed, you know, too good to be true.
So you got yourself an agent and you did a deal.
Exactly.
Okay. So
exactly.
What were you doing for Linder?
Well, Linder had a few different parts to the business. They had a fuel injector reconditioning business. So I helped out reconditioning fuel injectors when that part of the business was busy and they needed help. And then they did training for working technicians. They did a contract, a year-long contract, where shops would sign up for a year and their technicians would come once a month for training. And so I helped with some of the teaching. I went to some of the classes, and then we had a small two-bay shop where the shops could either bring cars to us if they got to a point where they felt like they were in over their head. They could bring the car to us for no charge if they were, you know, a member shop. We did take customer pay work there too. And then we had a hotline for the shops to call if they needed help. So I answered the hotline.
So you were busy in a lot of different fashions of the industry, both. Were you teching also?
Yes, I did the cars that came into the shop. It was just me and the owner basically there. So he kind of would, Jim Linder, he would help if I got into a situation I wasn't sure of. And then I answered the hotline calls, and then he did the training, and I would just kind of assist if he needed.
So you fell into something really exciting, but I guess a question that I have is, was it tough to find work as a female tech years ago?
Once I found my first job, it was easy. Finding the first job was the toughest part.
Got it.
So I did have some places where I actually had men call and respond to help wanted ads. And the person on the phone sounded very excited. And then I went in person to pick up the application and was told they didn't have any openings. So it was tough to find my first job, but the gentleman that gave me my first job was also a graduate of Lincoln Tech, where I graduated from.
Great. Now, tell, and that's a great story, but tell us about Lincoln Tech. Were you like the only female in the class?
I was the only female in the classes that I had, but in the school, there were five or six, maybe.
Okay.
In the school at that time, but they weren't all on the same schedule that I was on.
I see.
So
tell me about college. It's a long time ago, but did it give you the foundation that you were looking for?
It did. It did. I had no background at all other than I drove a car and put gas in it.
But what drove you to want to go and be an automotive tech?
Okay. I was in, I'll call it real college, if that's not too offensive, but I was in real college.
All right.
Pursuing who knows what, because my parents wanted me to go to college.
Great story. I get
so,
that. Yeah.
I was working part-time at Wendy's and flipping burgers, and there was an independent, like a locally owned tire and automotive shop right next door. And every day at lunch, the guys would come in and eat lunch. So I eventually got to know their names and talk to them. And one day the manager came in and said, "Hey, I could use some help. Do you think you could answer the phones and do the payroll?" And I said, "Sure, I wouldn't smell like grease every night." So I left Wendy's and I started working there. And then I just watched the guys in the shop and I thought, this looks kind of interesting. So, you know, I wonder what they're doing. I would hang out and ask some questions when we weren't busy, you know, in the office. So
it's fate from burgers to
from
automotive.
Exactly. And wow. Then my poor parents didn't know what to do when I told them I was going to quit going to college and go to technical school.
And they had no idea that you were going to grow up someday.
Oh, no.
And be such a sought-after technician.
Well, yes. I'm not sure they see it that way, but at least I'm, I never moved back home, and I've been taking care of myself, so,
you know,
that's a win for them.
Sooner or later, parents realize that's a plus, a benefit.
It's a bonus, right?
A bonus, yeah, that absolutely is. You're right.
I left, and I didn't come back, so.
Okay, so Lincoln, two-year school?
It was about, I think it was 18 months at that time.
Okay, 18 months. You got out and you got your first job. And was Linder your second job?
It was.
Okay, great.
Yes.
So after Linder, what happened?
I used my contacts at Linder. I actually, for a long time, had been telling people that I missed being in the shop. I was in a shop for about 6 years after Lincoln Tech before I came to Linder.
Okay.
So, I kind of missed turning wrenches, and everybody looked at me like I was nuts. Turning wrenches daily, because at Linder, not every day was there a car in the shop to look at. And so I used my contacts at Linder to find some shops around where I knew people, because I knew I couldn't walk in cold call and find a job I wanted. So
networking is just the best way.
Right. Right. So eventually, one of the guys, I'd put some feelers out, and one of the guys called me and he said, "Hey, I think they're looking to make a move at our shop, and we're going to need another guy. So
you love turning wrenches?
Yes. Not as much now since I'm getting older.
Oh.
I like it more when my helper does it, but
kind of where I was going. I mean, so many what we've interviewed now, I think 3 or 4 or 5 techs, and that I'm getting old in my back, and oh my God, is there something else down the road? And that diagnostician part, that, you know, if you will, quote unquote, lab coat, computers, that's what you're doing now, right?
Yes. No lab coat. But I am doing the computers without the lab coat.
Oh, darn. I thought that would have been a requirement from you.
No.
But that's the mentality, the level of expertise that you need today.
Yes.
Isn't that, that's what you're bringing to the job?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay.
I'm bringing something that not everybody has. Not that they can't learn it, but I think a lot of older technicians feel like it's too far past them. They didn't start learning it quick enough, and now it's the train's gone on without them, and they can't catch up.
I'm talking with Jonathan Cicchelli, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, you're visiting shops every day, so when you put product in the hands of the technicians and service advisors, what are they saying?
Going back to Federal Mogul's long-term presence in the industry, they already know the product. And some of them we don't have to say much about. It's the newer product, the latest innovations that we come out with that just blow people away.
So, Jonathan, you take that brand new OEX pad and you put it into the hands of a technician. What happens?
They look at it and are kind of speechless for a couple seconds, and they just can't deny that it's an awesome looking product, and they can't deny that it's going to work fantastic on their vehicles.
Now, another phenomenal product line that is just one of the most iconic brands in the entire industry is Moog. Now, there's a lot going on with Moog.
The newest thing with Moog is going to be, I think, the most important thing to the shops is the newer design ball joint that we created, and that was off of technicians' responses to a boot design.
That's that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot.
Absolutely. And as soon as I pull that out of a box and show a technician or a shop owner, they just were like, this is amazing.
So, Jonathan, would you say that you're a champion for Federal Mogul Motor Parts and all the premium products?
Absolutely.
And a champion for all the training?
I'm very big on training. I've always been in training since I've been in the professional field. So just to come back and support on the other end has just been an awesome experience.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. All right, are you a perpetual student? I mean, are you all right, so you love to learn.
I do.
And do you learn from every job? Are you going out and getting training on a disciplined basis?
The best things that I've learned that I remember are when I fail, and then I finally get it right. So, you know, those are the things that stick with me. I learn the best on my own, probably, but I do go to training. I prefer to go. I know that I think all of the people you've interviewed have mentioned Vision in Kansas City. So, yep. I do try to go to that every year.
Okay.
There are some local parts store sponsored clinics. Those, they can be good, but I don't learn that well after I've worked for 9 or 10 hours and then you sit me down and feed me. You know, it's bedtime.
Got it. Yeah.
I don't gain a lot from that. I do gain some networking opportunities locally, but I don't gain a lot when I'm trying to do it after work.
Do you think that daytime training should be in order from the parts side?
I do. And I've told every parts guy that's come in and talked to me about training, it should be done during the day.
Okay, because everybody has a different propensity to learn. And,
yes.
And you're right. after you put in an exhausting, I'm going to assume mentally exhausting
yes,
day.
Definitely.
What's 3 hours going to get you when your eyes are half masked, right?
Right. Right.
So do you see more and more of daytime?
I've been told they're going to offer it in my area. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
But I have been told by a couple companies that they were going to start offering it.
The shop owner has no question to let you go?
Oh, I'm sure they would prefer I was at work, but I don't get a lot of pushback if I ask them to go to training. They just say, okay.
So the magic is if it's scheduled, it's 4 weeks out. They
yes,
know you're not going to be here. And I mean, does the shop schedule or does it just take emergency walk-ins?
We don't schedule appointments, but if they do know I'm going to be off for just a day, then they will kind of make a schedule for me. They'll put people off and say, you know, if you'd bring that in on Tuesday, she'll be back. Or they do have a pretty large group of loaner vehicles. So, you know, they've got probably 6 or 8 loaner cars. So they can offer those to customers that they know pretty well, keep the cars while I'm gone and then look at them when I get back.
How do they determine that? Is it a check engine light? Is it a drivability issue? You're getting those?
Yes. I actually made a list of everything I looked at yesterday to give you an idea of...
Oh, that'd be great.
So, let's see. I had an 08 Jeep Wrangler with no heat. A 95 Chevy pickup that stalls and restarts immediately.
Okay.
A Mini Cooper with repeated headlamp failure. An 09 Silverado hybrid with a check engine light and engine noise. An 04 Town and Country check engine light. 2012 Dodge Journey with key fobs that don't work. 02 Taurus, no start, turned out to just be a battery. An intermittent no start on an 04 Santa Fe and an 02 F-150 that died and won't restart.
That's a lot of work.
Yes.
And did you get them all done?
I did.
Ooh.
I'm a beast.
That's great.
I am.
and you told me, you said, I'm just a little thing, but I'm a beast, right?
I am.
Well, what was your greatest challenge of the day out of all those vehicles?
That's a good question. Probably the no heat. There are more, it's not just as simple as, is it full? Is it full? Is the engine up to temperature? Now you've got all these electronic doors in the dash that you can't see. You can kind of feel them if you can get under there and reach your arm in there. You can maybe hear them. Sometimes you can get it. The information in a scan tool, what the door position is, just that kind of thing I don't really like. But
all right. So what was the conclusion? How'd you fix it?
That one is waiting to be fixed because I don't have to fix it. So that one's going to get a heater core on Monday.
Ah, okay. Ah, so you pass off the more of the mechanical side once you come to the conclusion.
Yes. I don't do many of the repairs unless they're quick because if they stick me on an 8-hour heater core, then for an entire day, all those other cars that I just listed don't get looked at.
So you don't change parts, but you're the brainiac inside the company.
Yeah, you could call me that. Mm. I don't know that anybody else would say that, but.
All right. Well, all right. So at the end of the day, you're mentally exhausted. What do you do to recharge? And you go home to a family, right?
I do.
How do you, what's work-life balance? How do you recharge?
We don't get to recharge until the weekend usually.
All right.
Because the day is long enough. We work from 7:30 to 6. So by the time I get home, then I eat dinner and my daughter's got to get homework done, shower, get ready for school. Yeah. You know, by 9:30, we're in bed. And my husband's a technician as well. So it's not like he's staying up till midnight. He's ready to go to bed too.
Do you tell stories at dinner?
Oh, yes. And my daughter often says, can we not look at wiring diagrams while we're eating? So I've had to be a little better about not, you know, not taking time away from her to ask questions or to talk about stuff.
I love it. I love it. It's not the husband who's complaining, it's the daughter. I love it. That's a great story, Michelle. Wow. So your husband's a tech, you're a tech, and your daughter's the ping pong ball in the middle.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. So you live for the weekend. Oh, by the way, we are recording this on the weekend. So
yes.
Thank you. It took us a while to schedule, but we're here and we're doing it. And I knew that I had to be so patient in order to get your story down.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank your husband and your daughter.
I will.
So when you're involved in the business, do you ever spend some time with the customer? Do you ever interact at all?
I don't typically interact a lot with customers.
Okay.
I don't have, Dan Baumhart from ASE said, maybe I need to work on my soft skills. And I've figured out what those are. I don't have them. I have a very expressive face that.
Oh. Well, that's good. Isn't that good?
No, not when people are talking to me usually.
Oh,
right? It's hard for me to hide the look of, will you please stop talking? Every once in a while, my boss will come out and he'll say, hey, can you go out and talk to this customer? And I'll say, just tell me what you want to say. That's the easiest route to go here.
Warning.
So I work in the back where people can't see me, and that's the best thing.
I know Dan, and he's a great guy. And wow, and he tells you that you need soft skills. Maybe you just need a filter.
Well, that would help. That would help. But, you know, that's part of my personality, and I don't think I'd be where I was if I had the filter, to be honest.
All right, I get it, and I appreciate that. What wakes you up from a dead sleep at 2 a.m. in the morning?
Did I shut off that car that I had running all day? That happened recently.
Oh, you know, you brought up something before about you learning from your greatest failures. And it got me thinking, isn't it amazing how we have places in our brains that we store some of those greatest goofs?
Mm-hmm.
And every time we get into a situation, we recall it like instantly.
Exactly.
And that's where you line up.
That's kind of where I live.
Wow. So that it never happens again. Do you see any repeats? You know, where you had a problem before, do you see many come back or come up again?
Sure. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. And then, you know, when you get the fifth one and you're really busy and you don't check it, then you have another one of those major failures.
So how many things do you think you've got stored in that section of your brain?
Ugh. Not as many as I had 5 years ago, because I'm having trouble with my memory.
Oh.
I'm getting to that point where I'm going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I remember this, so now I have a younger helper, and I ask him if he can remember.
Okay, so I came into this room, but why did I come in this room?
Right, exactly.
I don't think there's any age bracket that says once you get there, that starts happening. Uh-huh. I think that happens at any age. Wow. What's your biggest strength as a technician?
I only have one, or can I give you all of them?
You can list them all.
Okay, let's see. I am very hardworking. I'm always there, never sick. And actually, the guy that hired me, my first job, he said he noticed on my resume that I had written down that I graduated from Lincoln Tech and I had perfect attendance. And he said, if you will show up every day, I can teach you anything. So I'm always there. I'm hardworking. I like to learn. I'm organized. And I'm feisty.
Okay, let's talk about that fifth one. Okay. The feistiness brings value to who you are? Because is it one of those I can't quit things? Is that what you mean by that?
Yes. I don't like to quit on a job. Now, sometimes I need to step away from it. and let it kind of work in the background while I do something else that seems easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the shop is normally busy enough. I can do that. If I get to a point where I'm starting to struggle, I'll normally just walk away. But yeah, my feistiness makes me, it also makes me want to be, it sounds very arrogant, but I think most drivability technicians are arrogant, and I want to be better than everybody else.
Got it. So that brings a, it bubbles up your confidence to tackle anything.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're not confident, you're never going to do this type of work. You may be able to change brake pads and things like that, but you've got to have a lot of confidence to look at these kind of problems, especially if it's something you've never seen before.
Who's the best trainer you've ever sat in their class?
Can I give two answers?
Yeah.
John Thornton.
Okay.
And Scott Manna.
Got it. Why John?
John is very easy to listen to, and he lays things out in a very logical, easy to follow manner. And Scott does things the same way. I don't think he goes as much into detail sometimes as John does. So Scott, I think I relate more to the way Scott thinks through a problem, but John, taking a class from John on something you've never seen before, you're going to learn the theory and the operation and probably things the engineers didn't even know about it.
Well, I've heard that over and over from other technicians about John.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to have John on the show, but everyone tells me I'm never going to have
John.
Oh,
that won't happen unless you're up at 3 a.m.
I would do
he
that.
He never sleeps, I don't think.
I would do that. John, if you're listening, I'll be up at 3 a.m. to get your interview because so many people talk about how good you are. Hey, any great advice that you've gotten over the years that you cherish?
You know, I haven't gotten a lot of advice other than my very first boss that told me, you know, if I show up every day, I can learn anything. You'll be right. able to teach me anything. But you got to be there.
If you could go back in time, Michelle, and do anything over again, what would it be?
I don't think I'd do anything over again. Because I got to this point from all the little steps along the way. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy where I am now. And I loved working at Linder. I loved working at my first job. I don't think I'd do anything differently.
Any good habits that you have as a tech that you could share?
I've started this recently, and I think as I go on a job, as I check things, I'm starting to make more notes. Instead of mental notes, I'm writing the notes down, even on the back of the work order, just for myself. So if I have to step away, or if I feel like I need to step away when I come back, I know where I was. Because in a busy shop, a lot of times you are stepping away. And that's some of the frustration in a drivability setting where you're really looking at a complicated problem and you get in the middle of it and somebody comes up with an emergency and they expect you to walk away. And then when you come back, you feel like you're starting over again. So I started to make notes literally every few minutes as I go so I know what I have, and I found that helpful even if I don't step away on intermittent problems when I come back. You know, are those readings the same as they were when I checked that car yesterday?
Yeah, who wants to rely on their memory?
Right, instead of trying to remember, I'm going, well, I think it was around this,
yeah, yeah.
But now I have it written down. I've started that recently.
Being around, it doesn't work today.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I get it.
Right.
Hey, technology and your job, autonomous cars, all this stuff, where do you see all this going, and are you going to meet the call?
Well, I'm going to meet the call because I'm not old enough to retire.
All right.
Let's be honest. I'm getting older, but I'm not that old. So.
I don't expect anything less from you.
I'll meet the call because that's who I am. It's probably not going to be my favorite thing to do. It's probably going to be in an aftermarket setting. You know, that 2012 I looked at yesterday was a new car to me.
Right.
So I do have the luxury of not having to know about it right away. And I have time to hear about it and read the trade magazine articles about it and maybe go to some training even before, a year or two before I would
right,
ever see it.
Right. Are you excited about it, though, as far as where technology is heading?
I'm excited about learning new things. Autonomous cars, that really doesn't excite me because I like to drive and I like to be in control. So the type of technology doesn't necessarily excite me, but having something new to learn about is exciting to me because I don't like to be bored and do the same thing over and over again. So in that respect, it's interesting.
So you're not going to retire. So you see yourself in the industry for at least another 10 years, maybe?
Probably 15.
15. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, a lot of changes in that time. Wow.
Okay, maybe 10.
Wow.
Maybe 10. You talked me into it.
Ooh, a lot of changes. Would you ever, it was, say if somebody came up to you and said, hey, Michelle, we'd love you to come to our college and teach automotive technology. Would that interest you?
In a way. I taught a class a couple summers ago for a group in Kentucky, and they had asked me to come and do a day with some local automotive instructors. So that was an interesting group of people. I liked it because I liked being the one with the knowledge, and I liked everybody paying attention to me, but I did not like the preparation that led up to it. And teaching at a college where you have to teach like an actual curriculum, I'm not saying there's not value in that because everybody needs a base, but as far as being in a shop and working, the type of training classes that you go to where people have put this together based on their own experience on a car in a shop, that would be more like what I would want to teach.
Got it. Consider yourself a role model for women entering the automotive technology career or college. What would you say to them?
Well, don't give up. I mean, nobody should give up if it's what you want to do. If you found something you think you're going to like, then you should stick with it. I just try to be one of the guys. Everybody uses the same bathroom. It's not, you know, I didn't expect to walk into a shop and people start doing their daily routine differently because there was a woman in the shop. And I think over the years, they've become pretty comfortable around me. I know that, you know, they think I have an attitude, but I don't think they feel like they have to watch what they say or do because I'm around. I think I've kind of just been one of the guys.
So you integrated into the shop without all the politically correct stuff that...
Right. And I'm not very politically correct, so it worked out well for me.
Yeah, I guess it would because...
Yeah. If I ever worked anywhere where they had the human resources department, I don't think I'd last too long.
I see. Don't apply to a large company then.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Hey, I have had a blast. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad we finally hooked up. I will give a shout out to Matt Fanslow who hooked us up.
Yes. I was going to text him when I was done here.
Yeah.
I didn't want to tell him until after it was done.
I may have told Matt that you, anyway, he'll probably know. Any final words of wisdom you'd love to share?
Just do what you love. And in our environment, sometimes it gets stressful and you kind of start to lose your love for what you're really doing. So don't let the circumstances make you hate what you're loving to do.
Powerful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Glad to have you.
This was fun. You should have me on again.
All right.
I'm a blast.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll pick a, we'll dive deeper into a different kind of subject.
Get my boss on here.
Oh, okay.
He's a different sort.
All right.
And he's had to put up with me for 8 years, so I'm sure he's got some words of wisdom for other shop owners.
Oh, that would be a great interview. How do you deal with Michelle?
How do you do it? Yeah.
Yeah, how do you allow someone like Michelle to work for you?
Oh. That's right.
Well, we must do that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Hey, guys and gals, thank you so much for listening. Now, find additional show notes on drivability and electrical technician Michelle Wynn, who works at Beck Service Center, on the show notes page, remarkableresults.biz/E183. That is also the place where you can subscribe to be a newsletter insider and also subscribe to the Town Hall live show every Friday at 12 noon Eastern. Now, don't forget about the podcast app available on the App Store for Apple and the Google Play Store for Android. Just key in Remarkable Results Radio and go listen. You are an important reason I bring you these interviews, so you can profit from the wisdom found in each episode. So help spread the word. Share this episode with a friend. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.